Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. With a scratchy throat, excuse me. Let's start that over again. Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on Friday, September 16th, 2022. So happy Friday to you. Hope everybody has a good weekend. All right. We got a good show for you today with good friends. We got the COSIN Consortium on School Networking. We've got Keith Kruger, who's their CEO. We've got Eileen Bielostock, who owns Bielostock. I said Bielostock. I don't know why I said that. It's Bielostock Consulting. Okay, she's the CEO over there for the last 4 years. Well, she's been on with us before, but she's been a thought leader for COSIN's early career CTO Academy, which is really cool. All right, the chief technology officers. And speaking of that, we have Dr. Kelly Wilkes. Kelly is the CTO over at Ector County ISD in Odessa, Texas, where I think they like high school football. Okay, and she's been there for a long time, and we're going to put all them together and talk about COSIN's 2022 Student Home Connectivity Study, and this is key stuff, all right, because believe me, education needs home connectivity. This is the way of the world these days, and we learned that during the pandemic. Now we've got virtual learning everywhere. We've got to make sure kids are connected, et cetera, et cetera. They'll talk all about it. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. Ace-ed.org is the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Okay, go over there. Everything I'm going to tell you now is linked over there, including teacher-retention.com. We are real concerned about this. There's some great professional development information over there as well. We want to keep great teachers teaching. Okay, we can't afford to lose anybody. All right, and it's very hard to find somebody and hire them. And once you hired or get hired or hire someone, okay, we got to make sure they stay. Okay, it's all about teacherretention.com. I don't have to tell you the cost, okay, of finding and hiring a new teacher and all that sort of stuff and training them. So please go over teacher-retention.com. It's a big thing these days. SELtoday.org, Social Emotional Learning, our little resource center. We have our Excellence in Equity Awards program. It's kind of winding down. Today, September 16th, we're going to close it down for nominations on September 30th. It's under the awards icon. Nominate yourself, your school, your colleagues, products, whatever you want to do. Okay, you'll see all the categories under the awards icon. Our magazine is over there. That's Equity and Access Pre-K-12. You'll see the cover. That's our online journal. It's the back-to-school issue. Check it out. And this podcast and all the podcasts are archived over there as well, ace-ed.org. Your one-stop source for everything, ace-ed.org. And I'm bringing on my guest today, and it's spinning for some reason. Okay, so I know I've got one of them here. So there we go. We got everybody now. Okay, Keith, good morning. It's Larry here.
Good morning. Good morning, Larry. Greetings from Washington, D.C.
Greetings, and I thank you from Washington, D.C. Okay, Keith is one of the few people in Washington, D.C. who's not on the take, so I love you when you come here. Thank you for being here. Okay? I love them all. I won't get into that right now. Great to have you here, buddy, CEO of COSIN. Okay? More important every day, I might add. Okay? Eileen, are you there?
I am here. Calling from Boston.
Are you in Massachusetts today? Where are you today?
I am in Massachusetts. I'm about 30 minutes outside of Boston.
What town? Where are you?
What town? Mansfield.
Yeah.
You know the area?
Okay. Yeah, of course I do. I live up in Maine. My wife works at GBH for
six.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, right near where the Patriots play.
Right where the Patriots play poorly, I might add.
Yeah.
Okay, but we won't get into that right now. It's not going to be a good year. My advice is trade in your T-shirt, okay? It's not going to be a good year. I can tell you that right now, okay? But we won't get into that right now. And now, as I mentioned, okay, and by the way, Eileen, just everybody knows, what I said, the CEO of Bielostock Consulting, and she works all the time with COSIN, and she's just terrific, okay, and a great spokesman for school networks and all that. And Kelly, do you guys like football down in Odessa, Texas? I'm just not sure.
Just a little bit. Yes, we like our football here in West Texas.
And it's 8 in the morning. I'm sure you're already getting your tailgate ready for tonight's game. Would that be correct? Friday Night Lights?
They're probably lining up. Yes, sir.
Okay, good enough. Kelly, welcome to the show. Dr. Wilkes, CTO of Ector County ISD, which is Odessa. Tell us about your school district before we start. Give us the word.
Yeah, so we're a rural school district in West Texas between El Paso and Dallas. We have about 33,000 students, 42 campuses. We're doing good things here in Odessa and West Texas.
Yeah, and you know, I always picture Odessa is a pretty good size. How big is Odessa itself? It's pretty good size.
We have a lot of workers that move in and out of Odessa and Midland.
That's
so Midland is our next door neighbor.
Yeah.
We're a petroleum industry driven
community.
And
we sure are.
Together we have about 300,000 people, but at times when the oil is up and we're producing, we have more that come in and work for a while and then leave.
And that, by the way, is a great phrase I have never heard before in my life because I live up here in Maine, when the oil is up. I loved that line.
Right.
That's
well,
great.
You know, we drive a gas
here in the Permian Basin there, okay?
That's great
to have you here. It's great to have you here. Thank you for being here today. All right? It's great stuff. All right. COSIN's 2022 Student Home Connectivity Study. And this is rather important for school districts to know about. Okay? This is the way of the world these days. Keith, okay? Year one was 2021.
Yeah.
Now we got year two. Why is this one breakthrough? Tell us what we learned or what we know or what do you want to say? Introduce it.
Okay. Well, in 2021, you know, COSIN's had a long interest in digital equity. And obviously when the pandemic hit, we were concerned about there were lots of surveys around students that weren't connected, but we didn't have real data from students about what their experience was at the height. And so year one was at the height of the pandemic, and I'm not going to talk a lot about that today. You can go to our website and read those. But just to remind everyone kind of what we found last year, that was with 750,000 students in 13 school districts, and we found that video conferencing was really a huge impact on students learning from home, and that all the assumptions that policymakers and educators had made about what was needed when students were at home wasn't true. They needed much more bandwidth. The FCC, a connected home, you know, was good enough for Netflix, but it wasn't good enough for learning. And it had all kinds of other implications for the device that we give to kids, the way that home networks are. But what we wanted to find out the second year of the study is, since most students are now back at school, not all students, there are some that are still learning from home, but also most students in most school districts are back home. So what is their experience when they're at school versus what they're when they're from home? And so we looked at filtering information from 7 school districts, and this is real data again. So it's not someone's opinion about what's happening. It's looking at real data on the school network. So it's, and how does it compare when you're at school versus when you're outside of school, primarily at home? And there were 5 big findings. And I think they're a little surprising. You know, a lot of people would say, well, now the kids are back at school, it's not so important to focus on student home connectivity. And actually, our number one finding, is that it's just not true. In fact, there's more internet traffic for learning outside of school hours than during school hours.
Wow.
In fact, by a factor of 3 to 4.
Wow.
We also found that students have significantly slower network speeds when they're out of school. The school networks are high speed, robust, and reliable. At home, we're making slight improvements, but they're much slower at home than they are at school, and that impacts when they're doing homework and collaborating with other students. The other thing we found out, the fourth finding, was around, we looked by grade level for students connecting outside of the home. And, you know, at all levels, there are some kids that are below or far below the guidelines for connectivity at home. But the biggest problem the biggest problem is with high school students. Almost a third of high school students are far below or below the guidelines for connectivity.
Really?
And our So, you know, anyone who in every school district should be thinking about efforts to make sure that high school students who are connecting from home for learning have the ability to do that. And then the final
I have to ask you something.
Yeah.
We're talking about home. I just have to ask this. We're talking about home connectivity. What would be the difference? Why would there be a difference between, I'm going to say, middle school students and high school students? That's an odd, to me anyway. I don't understand why that would even happen.
I don't know that we, you know, that there are theories. We asked all of the chief technology officers, and Kelly may have opinions about this too, but we asked them, you know, what's their theory? And the theory was at the younger grades, especially in elementary, they're not doing that much homework at home that takes much bandwidth, and maybe in middle school.
That makes sense.
So this is outside of school.
That makes sense.
So,
thank you.
So if you're going to try to focus your attention as a school district, you know, you want to make sure that all kids are connected, but you want to be really attentive to the high school. And the last finding is around the disparities around different student populations, specifically when you look at ethnicity and poverty level. And in all cases, with one exception, we found that all non-white racial populations were worse than white students.
Wow.
And we, of course, found by poverty.
But still
again,
well. Yeah, not surprising,
yeah,
but still well.
Well, it's not surprising that poor families, and those tend to be disproportionately Black, Hispanic, are less connected. But the one surprising thing for me was we looked at students with special needs, and they actually were slightly more connected than average white kids. The overall student population.
Yes, yes.
Probably that's because, as a policy matter, we've invested a lot to make sure that students with special needs have special accommodations, and of course, parents and families see the value that technology can do for kids that have special learning needs.
Thanks, Keith. By the way, everybody, as you're listening to the show, on the website, I put a link in there to the study. So you can just click through and read everything. It has the key findings and more detail than that. It's all linked as you're listening. Just
it's got
case.
Really –
Yeah.
It's a, Tableau – I was just going to say it's a Tableau website, so it's got some really cool charts.
It's really good, I got to tell you. It's really interesting. There's the key finding. I'm going to get to Eileen in a second, but I want to swing over to Kelly. Kelly, you're down in Texas. I'm going to make a generalization. I assume you have a lot of Latino kids in the district. Would I be right?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. And et cetera, et cetera. And you're rural. That's another part of what we're talking about here. All right. So when as the CTO, when you're working with COSIN and all that, no, this is a surprise to you, but you're a CTO. You work in a rural, large district, I might add. Okay. Pretty substantial place. Odessa and Midland, all right? And you have a large Latino population, among other diversity, I might add, all right? When you hear all this as a CTO, what comes to your mind? Okay, how do you take this information and run with it? Okay, what's the next step? We got information, that's great. Now what? And now the whole world, Kelly Wilkes, Dr. Kelly Wilkes. Yeah, Kelly, tell us what you're going to do.
Yeah, so we know now from our own students using the devices we provided that the bandwidth speeds they have in their home is less than what we have here in the school district. We thought we knew what our students were experiencing online, but with this study, we got the data, the hard data that we really needed to provide some more targeted supports. We discovered and validated areas of our county that had poor bandwidth. Through this study, we have some families that have, you know, 5 to 10 megabit download speeds, maybe 3 to 5 upload speeds. we found, you know, with students using cell phones that they had 1 to 3 megabit downloads and maybe 1 to 2 megabit uploads on a good day, on a good clear day.
Wow.
And we also realized the number of people per household really affects the bandwidth. And so when we cross-validated the information, we found that families with 1 to 3 students suffered more than like a single student household.
That makes perfect sense. So what do you know all this, okay? And what do you do? Okay, I know you go to your superintendent, okay, and your cabinet and your school board. But what do you do? Is there a cure? As you look at all these statistics, what's the next step?
Yeah, so we have two initiatives, I would say, kind of in motion right now. One is a countywide initiative that combines multiple resources. The school district being one of them. We're partnering with higher ed. We're partnering with the chamber, the county commissioners, the city of Odessa, to really tackle this problem. So we put together a connector task force. So it's a play on words. We're connecting Ector County. So connector is our task force.
Not
and
bad.
Really,
I like it.
Really
I like
looking
it.
At
good one. Ector County,
so
everybody.
Really looking at.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's great.
So really looking at, you know, as a community, because our residents are our students, and our students are our residents. And we can't just focus on students. We really need to focus on our community, whether it's school-age children, whether it's college-age children, people working within our community, or, you know, our aging community. So we're looking at how do we get everyone connected. So we've got a couple of plans in place. And proposals, you know, we're going to try to use up the Broadband Development Office funding here in Texas to try to get some connectivity out to our rural communities. We know that big companies, big ISPs don't build out in communities that don't connect and can't afford. So we've got a couple of plans to minimize that gap.
Excellent.
We also partnered with SpaceX.
With who? Say it
again.
So
we realized the number of people in our rural communities, there are no fiber lines out to some of our areas that are very, very rural. So we validated and really figured out our underserved communities and our unserved communities.
Unserved.
We shipped out equipment directly to our families that were unserved. So we created a survey. Identified those families that wanted to participate. So it's kind of like the willing, right? The families that wanted to be connected. Started with 15 families. We sent them equipment. SpaceX sent them equipment right to their homes. We used some of the reports and determined that some of those families that received equipment hadn't installed it yet. So. You know, we know broadband is important.
Wow.
We know connectivity is important. So we called those families and tried to figure out why. As intuitive as the equipment should have been, some families didn't have the confidence to get that equipment installed.
Welcome to my world.
So
welcome to my world.
Yeah,
I feel their pain.
So we actually partnered with some companies that provided some hard labor and help these families get this stuff equipment set up and ran some speed tests. And we're getting 100 megabit down with SpaceX, 30 megabits up. So really, really good quality service. One story, before Starlink was installed at this one household, three children, a single mom, only using her iPhone to do homework and such. They usually would run out of their family's data plan before the end of the month. Now they have SpaceX. So they went from a couple of megabits up and down to 100 down, 30 up, and they're loving it. So the one thing that we learned is people don't understand the need for broadband until they have it. And so we actually, we got started with 15 families, and then we had to do a phone drive. We had to call every individual family that was unserved and say, would you like to participate? Because they weren't responding to surveys. They weren't responding to notes home. We called them and said, would you like this? And some families would actually say, no, give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else, somebody more worthy or somebody that needs it worse than I do. And so that was a really interesting dynamic. So these are poor families in, you know, rural areas of West Texas that just said, no, I don't need it.
Wow.
So, it was very eye-opening.
And you know, it's interesting, so many things you said that were interesting and good. You know, you don't miss what you never had, okay? And you said that with the broadband. They didn't miss it when they realized what they were missing, okay? Suddenly they realized they need this. And that little story about give it to somebody else just shows how nice the people are. I got to tell you, the other side of this, you know, kids do – and Eileen, by the way, I haven't forgotten you. I'll get to you in a minute, okay? But, just so you know, okay? But, you know, Kelly, I got to ask you, when you look at this study and you see that the home connectivity was a challenge, okay, how did you get that information to the teachers, okay? Because the teachers might have a different expectation. A lot of them are probably living close to where they are. A lot of them are probably more well-connected, et cetera, more well-connected in terms of broadband and all that sort of thing. But they have to have the knowledge that their kids aren't as well. They're saying, well, do your homework, but the kids aren't connected to do their homework, and they may live 20 miles from school, okay? I'm just curious, how do you get all this to the teachers? What's the teachers' expectations? Do they know what's going on with all this? And I'm saying that to you to give the word to every school district that's listening. You got to keep a line of communication open and keep the teachers informed. What happened on that side of it, Kelly?
Sure. So actually when COVID happened, we needed a quick turnaround on some information. So we asked our teachers this is during COVID, all kids are home. This is end of 2019. Who is participating in your classes and who is not? So they became very aware of those connected and those able to connect and those that weren't. And then we went on to start the next year. We surveyed our teachers and their home connectivity. We found out that there is, it's about 25% of our teachers live in those same areas that our students live in.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're not connected either. So we had to pass out Wi-Fi devices to our own teachers so they could connect.
Wow. It's just amazing. When the teachers see what's going on? Does it change the way they're teaching? Have you talked to them at all about that? In other words, they have to have an expectation that not every kid is as well connected as we are here at the school. Do they understand that?
They do. They do.
Good.
We provide opportunities for kids to connect with wireless service, Wi-Fi service. We have wireless antennas at every school, so the parking lot is lit up.
Wow.
We actually... Yeah. One story from a principal, she got to school super early, 6:30 in the morning, was walking her campus like she normally does. She peered out into her courtyard, and there's a kid sleeping at a picnic table. And, of course, she's a little bit alarmed, called the police. They both went outside and approached the student and said, hey, what are you doing here? And he woke up, of course, a little groggy, but he said, I fell asleep. I was doing my homework, and I needed Wi-Fi.
Wow.
So I came to the school, and I guess I just fell asleep. Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go. I hope they give that kid an A. Okay? That's a dedicated student there. I think that's a good story, and it kind of sums it up. Okay? How important education is to all these kids, and B, how far they'll go to make it work. This is great. Thank you, Kelly. That was a great overview of what you guys are doing down there in Ector County. Thank you. And that's Texas, everybody. Odessa. By the way, I said Odessa Midland. Does Midland count in this, or is it just Odessa we're talking about?
Midland has its own independent school district. So we're Ector County, so we're a countywide school district. Midland is a citywide school district, but we're two separate school districts, yeah.
And I realize now I'm talking to football rivals. So, boo, Midland, yay, Odessa. Is that better? Is that better?
Oh, you know,
but
we're
get on everybody's good side. Yeah, just everybody knows. It's tight. You know, it's a rivalry down there. Okay, I wasn't sure if they were together or not. Okay, so what's the name of the – how many high schools are in the Odessa ISD? Kelly.
So we have five high schools, two comprehensive high schools, OHS, Odessa High School, and Permian High School. And they
Permian.
Both
wow.
are teetering
wow.
3,600 to 3,800 kids right now.
Wow. Wow.
And then we have three choice schools.
I won't ask you which one's your favorite, so which one you root for. I'm not going to put you on a spot like that. Okay, Kelly
They're
likes
all
them
my
all,
favorite.
Everybody. Okay, although the one that she roots for, she turns off the technology at the other ones just in case. Okay, but we'll get into that later. That's no problem. Okay, only kidding. Okay, hi, Eileen. Welcome back to the show here.
Hi. Hi, Larry.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it's just really amazing. You know, Keith went over those five big results, okay? When you look at those, and again, you're a thought leader, okay? You really are. You're like a thought leader, okay? You have like a balloon over your head all the time, always writing in good thoughts, okay? Eileen, when you hear all this, okay, as a consultant, okay, what do you see? What do you hear? What's your line of action with all this?
So it's interesting. I was on the advisory board for this study, as well as I wrote all the content that's up on the website regarding this. And, you know, we did a six-member executive brief talking from, you know, hotspot consideration, you know, not all hotspots are the same, pedagogical implications, district network implications. And then we also did six spotlight series, and Kelly was one of my spotlight districts that I
yeah.
did. And it was really interesting to understand that it's not just rural districts that have a problem with broadband. It's also urban districts as well. So that was, to me, was eye-opening, that it's definitely not a rural issue. It is an issue across all types of districts.
Do you mean an urban district, do they have trouble with broadband, or do they have trouble? I want to just get the definition right. Or do they still have trouble with home connectivity? A lot of kids don't have access. What do you mean by that? I'm just curious.
So it's interesting that you know, in the urban districts, they'll have houses that have more than one family living in it,
mm-hmm.
but only
yeah.
one family have connectivity. So
yeah.
You may
that's
have,
what I thought you meant. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that
yeah,
was
they're
struggle.
Broadcasting out, but there's no way to receive it. Is basically what we're talking about here, right? There's,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I found that really interesting. Some of the big takeaways I think is that it's not a district issue. It's a community issue, and we've looked at schools as being the this is their problem. If you can't get connectivity to kids for learning, then it's a school problem. But it really is a community, a state, a federal problem, because it affects not just our students, but our families as well. So, and that came through pretty clear in this study for me, as well as talking to those six districts. I think the device does matter. We learned that during the pandemic for purchasing devices for everyone, that it really does make a difference. Keith was talking about the high school students. Well, if you're having any kind of graphic design classes or AutoCAD programs or those things, you're going to need a higher processing device than what we gave out during the pandemic.
Good point.
I think
good point.
So I think and that's why, you know, the high school students are struggling with this, is because the devices we purchased, and this goes to back to like the ECF funding
point.
Just came out. You know, we were only allowed to give $400 per device. Yeah, we have a lot of our high schools needed more
yeah.
powerful devices. So that was interesting. And that, community partnerships, like I said, again, it's not a different issue. Santa Fe is working with the local government to have an initiative going forward regarding broadband for all. So Fauquier in Virginia, am I saying that wrong? In Virginia also has a county broadband initiative that they're involved with. So what this study that did for a lot of people is provide the data for not only districts but for county and state with information, as what Kelly said, is like, just because we've given out devices doesn't mean that the families are taking it.
That's right. Or that it's the right device. Just giving out a device is not necessarily the answer. It's giving out the right device. Okay, to the right kids, making sure everybody has what they, it's the old story, making sure everybody has what they particularly need for their learning.
Yeah.
Okay, it's that simple. And learning and teaching and schooling has changed. The pandemic has made a tremendous difference. All right, and things have changed. Things have changed. The expectations are different. Okay, that's one of the good things, if I may, there could be good things that came out of this stinking pandemic, which hopefully is in the past now. All good. By the way, Keith, I meant to mention to you that your line, it's good enough for Netflix, but not good enough for learning. Make T-shirts.
Will do.
Okay. That's a great line. I don't know if you've been using that one, but good enough for Netflix, but not good enough for learning. That about sums it all up. Okay. It's unbelievable. Eileen, stay with me for a second. Other resources from COSIN regarding home connectivity. We have the study, and again, it's linked, everybody. Just look on the website you're listening at. Okay, and what are some other resources, Eileen? Thought leader.
From COSIN, well, I think that we have all these resources available to our members. They could also, there's a lot of organizations that are out there that are working towards broadband for all, and I think Keith at the policy level can probably speak to that more, but the COSIN website, especially for members, has all these resources available to them, including the study and links to where the data has been collected, as well as a playbook that we're finishing up that actually districts will be able to use when presenting to their cabinet or their school boards or their local commissioners of education and policy and all those. So the playbook, I think, is going to be really important for CEOs to actually use, because it shows the data and it shows the issues that we're having and where we're moving forward in a positive way and where we need to actually do a lot more work. And I think that, now the pandemic's over, the ESSER money is starting to run out. And my concern, I think the concern of a lot of us, is that we're gonna ignore technology because kids are back in person. Honestly,
I hope not.
It has to be part of the operating budget. Going forward, this has to be something that is as important as textbooks for students in schools.
If we do that, okay, then we've gained nothing from the experience. Okay, and I hope they are smarter than that. Okay, it's the old song, we won't get caught again. Okay, go ahead, Keith.
I was going to say, Eileen's being modest in that she did a number of spotlights of districts, including Ector and others. So those are free and up on the website. And then you're a COSIN member, there are some really detailed member-exclusive briefs and a coming playbook that provide, you can read the research and then kind of figure it out yourself, but we've also created some really handy tools to say, this is our advice for what you should be doing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else. You didn't use the word, but I'm going to use it. The reports and the playbook are ammo, okay? You need the data to go and talk to your community. You need the data to talk to your community via your school board, okay? The school board people, bless their hearts, all over the country, Okay. They are not professional educators, and they're not professional technologists for the most part. Okay. You need ammo to explain it to them. Okay.
You're absolutely right, Larry. And yesterday, you know, we do a joint project with AASA, the Superintendents Association,
sure.
and we have a 50-person superintendent advisory committee, and we presented this and then asked them, you know, what surprised you? How would you use it? And we had a really lively discussion, really how helpful, because, you know, there's a lot of feeling like, well, we're no longer in remote learning, so have we moved on from this need? And then they were surprised, shocked, and thought that it would be really useful to bring to their school boards and community.
Yeah, you know, I just as an aside here, as we wind down, I was talking to my friend Amanda Koken over at Ed Mendham yesterday, and we were talking about the importance of what's happening with virtual learning. We weren't on the show; we were just talking on a phone call, and she said, let's not forget, we're talking about virtual learning, and the kids are back in school, but a lot of work now, we're supposed to make people career ready, and a lot of work now is virtual, and it will stay that way, all right? And so as we do virtual learning, we have to understand that is helping to prepare students for a world that possibly could be virtual work, okay? The world's changing, and our job is to make these kids career ready. Okay, ready to take on. And this is part of what we're doing. And part of it is making sure we have the broadband and the networking. I'm telling you, it's just incredible. We got to go, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Eileen, Kelly, you guys are great. Okay, Eileen, have a good Massachusetts weekend. The trees are not turning yet. The leaves aren't turning yet. Okay, not even here in Maine. Right? And Kelly, good luck to whatever high school you root for tonight, Kelly. Good luck. Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, down in that Permian Basin down there. Okay, you really are the heart of Friday Night Light tonight. It's got to be fun to go to those games. Keith, thanks a million, my friend. As always, this was just great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, be good, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And no, the leaves are not turning here in New England yet. And I live in northern New England, so don't come yet to the leaf people. Not yet. Not yet. Okay. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. Okay. Please go over there and check out all the things we do. Okay. And Cosin's at Cosin.org. And boy, are they good. Everything's linked over here. Okay. Thanks for listening. You guys, everybody, have a great weekend. Take care. I'm Larry Jacobs.